Hey, if you want to save more money, maybe you want to pay off debt, maybe you want to reduce financial stress in your life, I am very excited to announce the release of our spring workshop coming up on April 23rd. Now, in this free workshop, we're going to walk you through step-by-step on how we've been personally able to help thousands of people save and pay off tens of millions of dollars. And these are normal people making normal incomes just like you and I. So if they can do it, you can do it too. If you'd like to sign up, head over to debtfreedad.com, click on the green button at the top of the page, and I can't wait to see you at our spring workshop.
Brace yourselves, because we are about to unveil the shocking truth behind some widely accepted misconceptions about debt and money. Now, these are not just misguided notions, they're downright falsehoods. Have you ever heard of the term truthiness? Well, in today's episode, we'll unravel the mystery behind this concept and explore why it holds immense significance in your journey to financial success and debt liberation. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Debt-Free Dad Podcast with Brad Nelson. Brad and his co-hosts experience the anxiety of living paycheck to paycheck before learning the fundamentals of financial success. They are now on a mission to empower regular people to pay off their debt for good and enjoy happier, less stressful lives. Keep listening for inspirational interviews, tips, tricks, and practical advice to gain financial freedom.
Hey, welcome to today's show. I am Brad Nelson, founder of The Debt-Free Dad. I paid off $45,000 in debt and have been debt-free now for 11 plus years. I've also been fortunate enough to help thousands of other people save and pay off tens of millions of dollars with the work that we have done here at Debt-Free Dad.
Hi, I'm Amber Taylor, and I actually paid off $54,000 in just 20 months when we were paying off debt, and we've been debt-free for, I think, about 6 years now.
I am Chris Hawkins, and my wife and I started our journey in 2005. And from 2005 to late 2008, we paid off just under $100,000 worth of debt. We have been debt-free except for our home since 2008.
And I'm Katie Hatfield. I am still on my journey to debt freedom, but I have in the last 5.5 years paid off over $153,000 in debt on a single income.
And my name is Ryan, and I have paid off $160,000 over 8 years, and we did that while raising 3 kids.
Now, after listening to this episode, guys, if you want to take this a step further and you'd like to get better results with your finances in as little as just the next 30 to 60 days, I'll be sharing details about that later on in the show. So today we are talking about this term and this word called truthiness. So as we get started, let's talk about where this idea came from and what truthiness actually is to lay the groundwork of today's discussion. Now, the following are a few excerpts from the book, The One Thing by Gary Keller. Now, Mark Twain once said, "It ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so." In 2006, Merriam-Webster allowed site visitors to nominate candidates and subsequently vote on the word of the year. The winner by a 5-1 landslide was truthiness, a word comedian Stephen Colbert coined as truth that comes from the gut, but not books. In an information age driven by round-the-clock news, ranting talk radio, and editorless blogging, truthiness captures all the incidental, accidental, and even intentional falsehoods that sound just truthy enough for us to accept them as true. The problem is we tend to act on what we believe, even when what we believe isn't actually anything we should. The real solutions we seek are almost always hiding in plain sight. Unfortunately, they have usually been obscured by an unbelievable amount of bunk, an astounding flood of common sense that turns out to be nonsense. Ever hear your boss evoke the frog in boiling water metaphor? Toss a frog into a pot of water and it will jump right out. But if you would place it into lukewarm water and slowly raise the temperature, it will boil to death. That is a lie. A very truthy lie, but a lie nonetheless. Has anyone ever told you that a fish stinks from the head down? That's actually not true. Just a fish tail that actually turns out to be a bit fishy. Have you ever heard about how the explorer Cortez burned his ships on arriving at the Americas to motivate his men? Not true. Another lie. Over time, myths and mistruths get thrown around so often they eventually feel familiar and start to sound like the truth. Then we start basing important decisions around them. So guys, I admittedly, we did cover this topic very early on in the Debt-Free Dad podcast, but we wanted to talk about it again because these types of things come up all the time. in just general discussion about money with people. Like, people will find out what I do for a living, and you'll hear these types of truthiness statements all of the time from people. I hear it from people I coach. I hear it from our Roots members, especially early on. We obviously have heard it from in our groups. I mean, we hear them all the time. So before we get into some of these, I mean, Ryan, I know this is especially a hot topic for you. What are some of your thoughts?
Growing up, you learn a lot of this stuff, right? I mean, this is, you are passed down these truthiness truths from people you know and love, your parents, friends, relatives. And it's just stuff that I held dear for years. You know, some of these things we're going to talk about today. And I think when you start to open your mind to some of this, it's it can just really change your life. I know it did for me. I know, you know, we tell this story a lot on this podcast, but I know, like, when Brad, you know, you wanted to get out of debt, I held on to some of these truthiness things we're going to talk about today. And I think not intentionally, but you learn to live so much in this mindset of that's true, that's true. And then you just believe it without any kind of real facts behind it. You just kind of accept it as the truth.
Well, I think, you know, we also did an episode on the term anchor bias too. And I think that kind of fits in a lot with what we're talking about here tonight too, is that a lot of us have that initial foundation of what we learned about, we're going to obviously talk about money. So about money. And anytime you are confronted with new information, you compare it to that original information you originally got that you believe in. And you immediately become biased because you believe in what you first learned. And I think that's why a lot of people tend to, when they hear this stuff, especially even me, when I started hearing people live debt-free, I was like, that's impossible. That's just not, you can't do that. Right. So I kind of fell for the same thing, but it's because of how I grew up, how my friends and family handled money, how my coworkers were handling money. And you begin to just believe in this stuff, even though it's really not true.
And it's not just money. It's politics and religion and all kinds of those major things that we just don't talk about because you don't want to rile everybody up. But critical thinking and common sense are not as common as they used to be. So it's like you can Google it, but then Google's going to give you how many million results to determine what's real and what's not too.
Number one, debt is just a way of life. Everybody has debt. Whether it be credit cards, car payments, student loans, everybody's got it. So why wouldn't I?
It's true. This is the thing. And this is, I think that this is where I think this truthiness is really, it's like, because people are going to say, well, it's true. And it's like, but the mindset doesn't have to be true. And so this mindset of debt is just the way it is, everyone has debt, takes any sort of accountability and responsibility out of your hands and says, there's nothing I can do. Everyone has debt, therefore I have debt, and that somehow makes it okay. And when you meet people like us who don't have debt, people think you must have inherited $4 million. There's just no way it can happen.
Well, let's talk about that one, because that's the other one. People who are having, who have success with money, or people who don't have a lot of debt or no debt, well, they just inherited that money.
No, I worked my butt off to get where I'm at.
70% of people are living paycheck to paycheck. Most people do have debt. It's just, that's just how you get by when you don't know how to handle your money. The 30% of those people who don't have debt or aren't struggling to pay their bills, they're a minority, but they're out there.
Well, I think the inheritance, like you said, Ryan, you bring up a good point. I mean, 80%. According to the book, Everyday Millionaires, 80% of millionaires are first-time millionaires. That means that they got there on their own. They didn't inherit any money. In fact, it's only a small percentage of people who are actually millionaires that actually inherited their money. But I think where it comes to this inheritance idea is that there is this general consensus or idea or thought out there that normal everyday people who make middle incomes or even middle to higher incomes, we can't get ahead and there's no hope for us. And it's just not true. I mean, we might feel that way based on the headlines that you see, based on what your friends and family are talking about, based on what you see on social media. It's easy to fall into that mindset. But the reality is everyday normal people are taking control of their finances. They are getting out of debt. They are saving money. They are making progress. You're just not hearing about it. And that's one of the reasons why we do this podcast.
Well, it's a new truthiness that just hit the last couple of years, right? I can't get out of debt because of inflation. I can't get out of debt because groceries are expensive. I can't get out of debt because, you know, the president. I can't get out of debt pick your poison of who you want to blame. 2016, there's the same study done that shows the same exact percentage of people can't afford a $500 emergency as it is today. And that was before inflation and before all these things. But it's like, go to any social media and you're going to find millions of people all jumping on the bandwagon of the reason they can't afford it is a new reason. And in a few more years, it'll be the trending reason at that time. Because it sounds right. Things are more expensive. Therefore, I'm worse off. It's not necessarily true. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't have an impact, but it's not true.
Chris looks like he's jumping at the bit.
You think about the people if you're listening to this podcast, think about the people who are around you that you work with, your friends, your coworkers, your family. Probably all of them do have debt. And if they all do have debt, it makes sense that in your mind, everybody has debt. But not everybody has debt. There are some folks out there, there are a few people like us who figured out how to pay off our debt. Now, technically, I have a mortgage. So, yes, I have debt. So, I'm kind of in that category. I have debt. Okay. But that doesn't mean that it has to be a way of life. So, you need to, if you're in that mindset that, oh, debt's just the way of life, everybody has debt. No, first of all, everybody doesn't have debt. But just even if they did, why does that mean you have to? Why does it mean you can't be different? Why does it mean that you can't get out of that trend?
Just think about the engine that runs that mindset, the financial industry pushing the information, social influence, social media, you know, your friends, your family, your coworkers, and how you were raised. I mean, there's so much pushing against you. You know, it's hard to break free from that mindset, but it's so true. A couple of other ones, guys. Credit scores. So having a good credit score means that you're doing well with your finances, or getting approved means you must be doing well.
You had somebody tell me that not to take advice from somebody who you don't have their credit score or their bank account total. And I'm like, really? Because I could have a really bad credit score and a really high bank account.
I'll be happy to tell anybody. I don't know what my credit score is, but if they want financial advice from me and want to know how much money I've got in the bank, that's probably going to surprise them a little bit. Because you can have a huge net worth and not have a clue what your credit score is.
But here's how bad the truthiness is of this lie. There's companies right now that have applicants apply and they check their credit scores. Like, I always had a great credit score. My credit score was always right around 700 when I was in massive debt. I never was late on payments, but I remember going to buy a car. We had no money, no idea why I was going to buy a car, but I remember going to buy a car thinking my credit score is great. And I remember them looking at me going like, yeah, your debt to income ratio is crazy. Like I'm like, well, my credit score is like 710. They're like, hey, we don't care. Like, you owe people a lot of money, you know, but I think, you know, the truthiness of this is like this idea that, you know, so you put that in the shoes of a company that's like pulling your credit score. My credit score was 710. They're looking at it going, wow, you must be really responsible with this money. Like, you know how many people out there probably have really good credit scores and are massively in debt like I was? I mean, you can look very well off. You know, your credit score is not a reflection of how well you behave with money. It is literally has nothing to do with that, because I was terrible with money and I had a good score.
I would much rather have the cash to pay for something than a decent credit score to finance it and make payments forever, because I've been doing online dating for way too long now. And now that I see all these people that these guys will put what their credit score is in their profile, I'm like, yay, you're really good at debt.
I find that one fascinating. It's so funny. But it's interesting, Ryan, you bring up the whole company thing. I actually was in a conversation with somebody a while back ago, owns a pretty big company, and they said they do check their employees' credit. And I said, well, I'm just curious, if I were to come apply for a job, here's my situation. I have no debt. And this was prior to buying my home, which I have a mortgage on. I said, I don't have one. And they said, well, we probably wouldn't hire you. I'm like, well, what if I brought my bank statement and I showed you all the money I had? Well, that would be a different story. So it's like a lot of people think like it's just this end all be all. Like, I've rented homes in the past without having to show a credit score. Now, you have to do it a little bit different, but you know, I've rented homes, and part of that was showing my bank statements of, hey, here's my accounts. Here's how much money I have. I'm willing to put more money down as a security deposit. I'm willing to work with you. Like, they still work with you. But a lot of people just feel like there's that truthiness of, well, if I don't have a credit score, it's impossible for me to ever do any of the things that they say I need to do. And this is talking to someone who bought a home, financed it without a credit score. So it is possible to still live life, a pretty good one, without focusing so much on the credit score. But Chris, I do like that you brought up the fact that, because we see this in Roots all the time, people will come in. We don't teach anything about credit scores inside Roots. Nothing at all. But time and time again, we'll have people celebrate that. Oh my gosh, I'm getting out of debt and my credit score is also increasing. We see it all the time in the program. Because when you focus on your personal finance habits, you start making your payments on time. You start reducing the amount of debt that you have out there. And that's all good stuff for your credit. So it's kind of a win-win if you do want to maintain a credit score. It is possible to do it and still, build your net worth as well. Another truthiness statement is, you're always going to need a credit card for things like emergencies, renting a car, booking a hotel, traveling out of the country, and so on and so forth. So now, Chris, I'm just going to throw this one at you because you did just travel out of the country for quite a while. How did that go? What did you use?
Let's see. The airline, Delta, they took a debit card. The three VRBOs that we rented, they took a debit card. And Uber, which we used as a means of transportation, they took a debit card. And we did take some Euros and bought some rail passes, so we used cash for that. Another flight from Lisbon to Barcelona, that was paid for with a debit card. Oh, and the train from Barcelona to Madrid, debit card. Meals, in Lisbon, Portugal, they don't even take American Express. They take, you know, just anything with Visa and MasterCard. So you either have to have a Visa or MasterCard credit card or a debit card with one of those on it. So 25 days in Portugal and Spain, done with a debit card. Now, I didn't rent a car. We had to do a hotel, but I promise you we could have done those as well.
Yeah, that's been my experience. I mean, I've traveled quite a bit and out of the country and in the country and have used a debit card for all of it and have had no issues. Now, I get that there is the argument out there of security and all of those types of things. And obviously, we won't get into that argument here on today's show. But the fact is that you still can do all of those things with a debit card. You don't need to have a credit card, especially when you start talking about things like emergencies. This one kills me. It's like, no, we want you to build an emergency fund for your emergencies, not rely on debt. Because if you're always relying on debt, you'll never get out of debt. And then that goes back into the mindset of, well, you're always going to have debt, right? So to break away from that is you build up a emergency fund for yourself for those emergencies. So that way you can do away with credit cards. And then the piggyback one on this one, guys, is, well, I'm leveraging my credit card for points and rewards. It's a smart way to handle your money. Now, come on, Amber. I see you.
I love
there.
My points.
That's why I brought it up.
But I don't pay interest because I pay off my cards. And that's the key. That's the key right there. You have to pay off your cards. And really, you got to watch your spending because it's easy to overspend when you're using cards. So you really got to watch your spending too, because I've had to catch myself going, oh, I really don't need that on Amazon today. Let's not do that.
Well, those are the two things for sure. Yeah. Number one, you have to be disciplined enough to pay it off every month. But number two, yeah, it's the overspend. I mean, how many studies have we shared on this show over the years of where we share how much people overspend using a credit card versus a debit card or even paying cash? It's crazy.
Yeah, they've got to be paying way more interest than they are getting their points. And then you have to use your points in like a certain way, and you have like blackout dates for certain things. And so sometimes it's not worth it, but I still love them.
The truthiness part comes into play where it's just, you can get into these discussions with people and it's just, you understand that they're giving this to you because they know there's a better chance that you're going to carry a balance and you're going to pay them interest, which is going to pay them back 100 times. Than what these free points gave you. It's not the fact that you can't take advantage of it if you have the ability to. Yeah, take advantage of it. But they're in the game of making money. They are not in the game of giving free flights and free points and cash back. They're not in the game of just giving stuff to people. They're doing it because they know they're going to make a ton of money off people by doing that. People who, well-intentioned, Katie, like you said, I did it when I was terrible with money. I'm going to totally put this trip on this card, and then I'm going to pay it off in 3 months, just like I promise. And then I carry that balance for 5 years and pay them three times the amount of what the dang trip costs to begin with. No, but I got $50 cash back.
A payment, a bank's number one stream of revenue is fees and interest, 100%.
So those of you listening out here, go to Visa.com. You're going to see, I'm looking at it right now because I'm pulling it up to show you exactly how to get there. You're going to see at the top individuals, then you're going to see a link for businesses. And when you point to it, on the far left, ways to accept Visa. So this is the portion of Visa's website for businesses. And it says, under ways to accept Visa, start accepting Visa. All right. When you scroll down, it tells you, see how one of the world's largest payment networks can work for you. And it says right here in bold, larger transactions. Credit card purchases average more than the average cash transaction. So, Brad, I know you've given studies, but my point here is that Visa even knows it. Their data even knows it, but they're not going to tell you. You can dig through the individual part of their website all day long, and they're not going to tell you that. Why? Because they know if you go on there as an individual and go, ooh, I'll spend more money if I have a card, I probably shouldn't do that. They want businesses to know that. Why? Because businesses pay money to accept Visa cards. And so how is it going to benefit you as a business? Well, customers are going to spend more money. So they're very careful on who they tell what to whom.
Yeah.
And you can find the same thing on MasterCard, same thing on Discover, same thing on American Express. In fact, they all brag about, no, our people spend even more money with our cards than other card providers. They know it. It's time for you to start thinking, how much do I actually spend on those cards? And does it help me spend more money having a card or even the tap or now, heck, with the phones? And most people probably would, if you sit down and looked at it, you would come to the conclusion that I do spend a lot more money.
And when you pay with cash, it hurts more. Like, you really think about it before you hand that physical cash over to the cashier.
I do have a business credit card. Now, I don't use that obviously for personal purchases, but, you know, for standard business type expenses that we have, advertising, business supplies, anything for our planners, we put everything on that card and we earn points off of it. So it's literally impossible for me to overspend on it. So we've obviously gotten points. Now, I did try to book some travel with that. Crazy enough, they told me, personally, you will pay more using your points versus if you just reached out to this hotel and booked it yourself and paid cash.
Absolutely.
Because that's what they told me.
Most of the time, you're earning like a dollar or a point for every dollar you spend, but that point is probably only worth about 10 cents in the long run.
Right. So they said, you know, if you don't want to use your points for this particular thing, maybe use it to do something else and just pay cash for this hotel because it would probably be cheaper for you to do it that way. So keep that in mind. They're getting you one way or the other. And that's the point of really today's episode, is really just to, you know, pull the covers off some of these statements that we've come to know as being true and challenge common thinking. One of the best ways you guys can continue to do that is by listening to this podcast on a regular basis. So if you want to pay off debt and save more money and take control of your finances and start seeing some amazing results in just 30 to 60 days, all you have to do is head over to debtfreedad.com, click on the green button at the top of the page, and we're going to show you how to do that with a 15-minute short video. So the totally awesome Debt Freedom Planner is helping so many people make consistent progress with their finances. Whether that be building emergency funds, paying down bills, budgeting, tracking paydays, saving up for larger purchases, goal planning, and planning for those irregular yearly expenses that always seem to catch you by surprise. Now, the Debt Freedom Planner will help you take the stress out of managing your money. And if the thought is running through your mind, hey, I just need to have a simple tool to get my finances together, this planner is perfect for you. Head over to therealdebtfreedad.com, click on the Debt Freedom Planner in the menu at the top of the page, and order your Debt Freedom Planner today.
Let's talk about debt, baby. Let's talk about your money. Let's talk about all the good things, all the bad things that make me. Let's talk about debt.
And that's how it means it's time for the celebrations of the show. And this week, we're talking about how much we asked our members how much they've paid and saved off since joining Roots. And Shannon says $21,649.24 since November of 2023. That's about 4 months. She says, I get paid tomorrow, so I'll be adding to that in the AM.
That is incredible. Wow. Shannon is crushing it. Janice says, I've paid off $1,796 in starting roots at the end of January. So that's about 2 months from the time that she had posted that. Holy, actually. Oh, I'm sorry. She says, holy. I know what she really wanted to say. Actually writing it down and adding it up is surprising and puts things into perspective. Janice says, awesome progress here in just 2 months.
Yeah, one of the comments I see, Brad, on the Facebook groups is, how can I afford to join Roots? Well, I think the answer here is people are sharing, such as Nicolette. Nicolette says, I joined Roots in January and I paid off $2,462.83 that contributed to the previous total.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And Christina, since December 23rd of 2023, so just over two and a half months ago, saved $1,250 and paid off $95.95 in.
And Rachel paid off $18,666 since November of 2023.
Yeah. And that's just 3 to 4 months since they joined. So as you guys can see, just in a matter of 30, 60, 90 days, you can make some pretty incredible progress. So congratulations to all these members who are kicking some butt. As always, congratulations to all of you guys who are taking a stand for your financial life and are wanting better. We get that getting out of debt isn't easy, but with our help and with your consistency and discipline, we promise that this will be some of the best work that you guys do in your entire life. We'll see you guys on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Debt-Free Dad Podcast. Connect with us on Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. Just search Debt-Free Dad. If you found value in today's episode, please leave us a rating and review. We so appreciate it. For resources, show notes, and links mentioned in today's show, visit debtfreedad.com. Catch you next week.